lot of that, a lot of that music. Some of it, as we heard Brother Roulette the other night, may not be scripturally accurate, all of it, but some of it is really lifts the Lord up, and quite a bit of it does. And from the majestic cathedrals that have been built because of the Lord Jesus Christ to the greatest choirs and the greatest music, all because He came. Amen. And we praise the Lord for that. The world don't like it. They try to shake it off. But I appreciate those that are getting the gospel out this time of year. Even the networks and the liberals and atheists that put up road signs and everything else attacking the Lord, it's been a good thing in a way. It smoked the folks that do believe in the Lord to say something. They needed to say something. Amen. Well, tonight it is good to have some visiting preachers with us. We want some of the young men that's got a microphone back there. I'm going to ask these preachers to just kind of stand where you are when they get to you with a microphone. Tell us how things are going, how they're doing. Don't spread it on too thick and too long. But give us a report, amen. I don't know if I'm going to be able to name them all. I see Brother Osteen right there. Somebody come right on down this way where he's at. Stand up, Brother Osteen, and we'll get a man to you there. And he's pastoring Landmark Baptist Church up in Atlanta, Georgia, and I kind of think they might have had some snow the other day. Is that right?
A little bit, a little sleet, not real snow, but it snows a little bit up there. Too much for me anyway. I went to Vancouver in February during the Winter Olympics for a missions trip, and they were wanting snow when I left Atlanta. There was snow all over the place, so it was kind of strange. But just celebrated 5 years at the church there back in October. And the Lord's good. He's faithful. He's blessed our family, our church, and things are just going well. And we here in the past couple months had about 6 or 7 adults saved, and they've been coming to church, learning and growing. And most recently, a man that heard my Sunday morning broadcast came, and he'd been listening to the broadcast for several months, and came on to church. His wife was saved. He wasn't saved, but was under conviction. We dealt with him, and he got saved last Thursday, and he was in church Sunday morning and Sunday night. And it's just going real well. Praise the Lord, and it's good to be back.
Amen. All right, if there's anybody in the tape room, turn it down just a little bit. That was pretty powerful. Appreciate it, Brother David, and good report. I don't know, he might be the loudest preacher we have. He might not be either. Well, you're real close right there to Brother Mullins. Just stand up, Brother Mullins, and tell us how it's going as you get ready and when you're leaving for the mission field.
Okay, well, good to be here this evening, amen. And Michael Mullins, and out of this church, amen, Landmark Baptist Church, Haines City, Florida, and we're excited about being here. And the Lord allowed us to plant a church up in Tennessee about 5 years ago, and that work is really doing well. We've got a good group of people there. And now we have been on deputation for about 21 or 22 months to go to Chile, and we are leaving in about 80 days. And we have about 75% of our support, but we're leaving with what we have. March the 13th, we've already bought our tickets. We can't wait to get down there. We have 5 families down there right now waiting just to be discipled. Preacher, there is such a need down there, and our heart's there, and we're honored to be sent out of this church. And as a matter of fact, Pastor Osteen here and Landmark Baptist up in Locust Grove support us, and we're honored of that, amen. And the Lord's just been very good to us, amen. Deputation is not easy in this day and time, and amen. You folks probably know that, but God is good, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Mullins. How you coming with speaking the language? Now, he has a teacher in his house. Is she a good teacher? She ever get ill with you about it? All right, we're joking, Sister Mullins, there a little bit. All right, I see Brother Jeff Hobson over here. Now, I don't think they have any snow up in Indiana where he's at, but he'll give us a word. We appreciate it.
Amen. I'm still under the judgment of God. And I had to come to Florida and get a cold. We left Sunday night, and we had about 7.5 inches of snow on the ground. Supposed to be another 6 or 7 this week. And it's different in Indiana, I'm going to tell you. And for a Florida boy, And then we brought Brother Bobby Ogden up there so we could suffer together. And the last 18 months have been the hardest 18 months of my entire life. But I know that God is faithful.
Amen.
Some of the lessons that I've learned here through the years, I've been able to put them into practice. The devil's fault.
Yeah.
But boy, God's getting some victories.
Amen.
Bobby and I, about a year ago, nailed at our altar in our church, and we just decided we were going to be faithful.
Amen.
If nothing else, I'll just be faithful.
Yes.
And this last Sunday, for the first time in a while, we had somebody come forward for baptism, somebody come forward to get saved.
Amen.
And I'm so glad that I serve a God that is able.
Yes.
Brother Jim Lewis told me years ago, wrote it down in front of one of my Bibles. He said, Jeff, never judge your ministry by the crowd's response, because we preach for an audience of one.
Yeah.
And I'll thank you folks for praying. I had 5 great years. Last year, God has said, okay, I'm going to test what you believe. And I'm so glad that at the end of it, that I know what I believe more than ever.
Amen.
That in spite of it all, God's called me to Indiana, and he wants me to stay.
Amen.
And we've just decided to do that.
Amen.
Preacher, thank you for your faithfulness through the years. There's a lot of times I wanted to come back to Florida, but I was afraid that Pastor Carter would send me back. Because he did it one time before to me. And I just decided to stay, and God's good. And our God is able.
Amen. They say metal's no good if it won't stand the test. And in the Lord's work, warfare that we get involved in, we are going to be tested. And thank you for that testimony, Brother Jeff. And pray for the works there. Some of these, they're not preacher boys anymore, but the preachers that's went out of this ministry, have them on your prayer list. Just have them on your prayer list. And just missionaries and preachers that have come right out of the pews we've sat on here and right out of the work that we've done here, so many of them, don't forget about them. Don't forget about them. They're standing true out there, and that's what's important. Well, I see Brother Stanek over here. If you can get over to him. He's got a little bit of a unique ministry. I believe you just got back from Israel, didn't you? All right. Tell us the word there, Brother Stanek.
Well, the Lord's allowed us, my wife, and it's her first opportunity to go to Israel, so the Lord's allowed us to go over there, and he instantly overwhelmed us with the new contacts and strengthened even our call. Even before we got to Israel in Amsterdam, we ran it. There was a Jewish man behind us that I talked to earlier. He was a soldier in the IDF at the airport. We were in the lounge drinking. Actually, it was a sleeping lounge, amen. A big long chair.
What were you doing there?
I was just watching my wife drink. That's all I said. And so we had a really good conversation. And then standing in line, we stood in line together speaking some more. And a Jewish guy behind him, another young fella that had served in the IDF for 8 years, had just finished working in the tour business in Israel and was going to start his own business. And he was our personal tour guide for free for nearly entire 3 weeks we were there.
Amen.
And through him, of all the different contacts we had through media centers, somebody that's actually in the embassy that works with a lot of the embassy pressmen, it was his son that has a press center in Sderot, Israel, and his dad, who is the one that works in the embassy area, he told us who to go through. He's our primary contact now for getting our own press pass. That young man was responsible for those meetings that we met in the airport that's going into his business for himself as a tour guide. And also, we've had so many contacts, important people. Now, not that anybody else isn't important, but you don't go, you don't stay in a country because you know people that work in gas stations and convenience stores. It's those who have position in Israel that helps keep you there. And our most important visit was probably our last visit, which was actually the day before we left. Of course, we left, had a pack up to go like 1 a.m. the next morning. And that was Uzi Dayan, and most of you would know him by his uncle, Moshe Dayan.
Yes.
And he had us in his home. We spent about an hour and a half to 2 hours there with him personally. I actually had an opportunity to interview him. And on his wall was hanging an eye patch of his uncle.
Amen.
So that in that, another strengthening position where God has empowered somebody in Israel of importance to secure the call that God has given us, because the last thing I spoke to him about was working with the IDF, and he told me who to call. Now, what helps is I can say, Major General Uzi Dayan told me to call you. So God is really working way in advance and encourage us all the more. So, and thank you for praying for us.
For some of you younger folks, maybe the name Dayan don't mean that much to you, but some of us, it was still back in 1967 when the Six-Day War took place and Israel came in and got the whole city of Jerusalem. You saw on the news program that night, Moshe Dayan going up to the Wailing Wall. He's the one that had the strap around his head and the patch over his eye, and got up there at the Wailing Wall. Those Jews came in rejoicing. First time they'd been to the Wailing Wall in all these hundreds of years, and it was theirs. And that General Dayan, said, as they interviewed him right there at the wall, he said, "We are here and we're never going to leave." And that's what the battle is still over right now over Jerusalem and the Jews. That is a big thing, Brother Stanek. That is quite a contact there. God has got a way of getting his word in. And a number of men in higher positions over there in Israel now have been reached by the gospel, know the gospel, and are friendly and even asking for help from real Bible-believing Christians over here in America. All right, come on around this way. Where's my microphone, man? All right, come on around this way. All right, Jonathan, you got one. All right, Doug, stand up if you would. Good to see Doug and Kim and family. And they've gotten in from a biblical city of Dothan. It's in your Bible. Look it up. And done a great work up there through the years, and share something with us. Had your big day. Tell them something about the big day here just a little bit.
Yes, sir. I'm Doug McCormick, my wife Kim. A lot of you might know her. She grew up in Landmark here, got saved when she was in eighth grade, and we were married here at Landmark, and this is our sending church, and I consider Brother Carter my pastor. We've been in Dothan for a little over 20 years, and we just celebrated our 20th anniversary, and also the dedication of our new sanctuary that we just completed. It's actually a 600-seat sanctuary building.
Amen.
And the Lord gave us 901 on that day.
Amen.
So that was a real blessing. And but it's been a trying time trying to get the building completed, but the Lord's done a lot of miracles. And it's like amazing, the song Amazing Grace, 'tis grace that's brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. And I know the Lord's going to continue to help us through, but we thank God for y'all, and so many of y'all have been such an encouragement to us, and Brother Carter and the church here. I know if it wasn't for Brother Carter, my wife and her family probably wouldn't be serving the Lord, and I'm sure that I wouldn't have met her at Bible college and married her, and we would not have a church in Dothan, Alabama, if it wasn't for Brother Mickey Carter. And also, always like to thank Brother Howard Cohn, who was our youth pastor back in those days.
Amen.
And what a blessing he was, and so many others here. They've always been an encouragement to us. But we love you, Brother Carter, and thank God for y'all and your prayers and encouragement.
All right, keep praying for Doug. He's had got the new building, and like most church buildings I've ever known to be built, he told me they had an overrun. It's pinching them financially. And while that's par for the course, it's no fun to be caught in it. and you have to deal with those kind of things. And I hope you'll have them on your prayer list. Well, did I get all my preachers tonight? Did I look around and spot them all? I believe so. All right, we could go back around now and have the preacher's wives, but we don't have that much time left. So I believe that's it, Jonathan. I don't see anybody else. All right. I know it's the season time. It's the Christmas season. I know that if you've gone to any of the programs around here, if you watched anything on TV or whatever else, you've been hearing basically the same verses over and over, the Christmas story. And while that's good, I do think sometimes there's a lot of people that think that's all that's in the Bible, is maybe something about Christmas and Easter. No, there's a lot more. And you can just glean more and more and more. We had Brother Roulette preach the other night, and it was a blessing for him to come by. He was showing us some of the corrections, some of the assumptions and so forth we always make, and some of the songs written that way and so forth. But the big picture is, I'm thankful that the whole world recognizes that Christ come. And even when the liberals on TV have the big events, I was watching a little bit in Bethlehem the other night. Do you realize that all various kinds of churches come into Bethlehem to celebrate Christmas, and the pageantry of it, all the color and all that? And while we would understand too many of those people look to the ceremony and not the Savior, we understand that, but we're still thankful that the big witness goes out, the testimony goes out worldwide. I want you to we're going to look at just a couple of three verses. I really plan, really hope I'm not lying. Going to get you out of here in just a few minutes tonight. So look in Luke 2. You're so familiar with this portion, I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to read just a few verses out of it. So in Luke chapter 2, we have the story, and we pick it up in, let's pick it up in verse 7. Verse 7 of Luke 2, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Probably one of the most famous lines in the Christmas story. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid." Somebody says, what does sore mean? It means they were scared. All right, you would be too. Verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, we notice that a couple of times here, two or three times, it says that Jesus was born in a manger. Now, if you go over there in Bethlehem right now and you see all the ceremony going on, I've been there, I've looked at it. You can go down below the altar in the Church of the so-called Nativity, and you go down in there, and they have these great big ceremonies and all the color and all the dress-up and all that. And right in the middle of what we would call a concrete floor, a stone rock floor, they have a hole, and around the hole is a silver star. It's got many points on it. It's not a five-pointed star. It's almost like a cogwheel. It's got so many points on it. And they believe that's where the Lord Jesus Christ lay in a manger. Constantine's wife, Helena, come over and had churches built all over the so-called holy spots in the Holy Land, or in Bethlehem, of course, was one of them. We can't prove that that was it, or can't prove it wasn't. I want to say something, though. We need to understand. There's a little misunderstanding. We got all the pageantry. We got all the beauty. Got all the color. Got all the singing. And it's all neat and clean and pretty and polished. And excuse the language, but that just ain't so. That's not the way it was. In fact, right down behind there in the Valley of the Shepherds, where they're angel appeared to the shepherds. They were down there keeping the sheep. It probably was cool weather, winter time. We don't know for sure the exact date. But what we do know is that down on that hillside, there were a lot of caves in the what we would call the mountainside. And the shepherds took advantage of those caves, because if the weather got a little bit bad, they actually, many of them was large enough, they put the sheep in, and they would bring the sheep in when they were about to foal, when they were about to have the lambs, and they would bring them in there. And it was in those places where the manger would have been located, in one of those caves. Now, I want to tell you something. It was not pretty in that cave. It was not good smelling in that cave. In fact, the waste of all the animals was in that cave. And even where the sheep gave birth to the young, it was not a pretty smell. It was not a pretty sight. You can go over today and see it. If you go in some of those caves, there's actually, for lack of a better word, dung on the walls and on the ceiling and everywhere, and trampled around. Jesus was not born in the splendor of beauty. He was born in a very foul-smelling, dirty location, frequent by the poor and by the homeless and by those that their home was a cave, looking after the sheep. That's where he came. Now, that's the real picture. That's not the pageantry we see today. And here's what I want to say. It's a picture of the truth that Jesus came into a depraved, fallen, sinful, dirty world. That's where he came. The spotless Son of Glory so came to seek and save that was lost. But let me say, this old world was depraved then. It's even more so, if you could say that today. If you saw in the news this week, you saw the fella that put out the book to teach people how to become pedophiles. And our sheriff, Sheriff Judd, is catching some flack because he let one of his deputies buy the book and then got a warrant for the guy and brought him here and put him in jail. And I applaud him 100%. Now, some of the liberals are crying bloody murder. Well, you entrapped him. They ought to be entrapped. And they ought to be dealt with that way. And this is a depraved world. They're digging up bodies in one of our orange groves up here around Dundee this afternoon. Isn't it amazing how you find daddies killing kids? And it's not a day goes by. We are in a dirty, stinky, depraved world. But that's what Jesus came to when he debased himself of heaven's glory and came down to such a world as this. We need to... I like to see the decorations and stuff, but I like for us to keep the truth in mind. That is, mankind is depraved. But it shows Jesus dipping his holy, clean, righteous self in the cesspool of this old world. And those examples abound around us all the time. When we see it in Luke 2, we see here the shepherds have the angel show up. They find him in a manger. Now, we know the truth that he doesn't stay in the manger. And when you get back to the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, and go back to chapter 2 on it, we know the story of the wise men coming. We know them seeing the star in the east. We know them asking directions in Jerusalem. We know of Herod trying to trap them. Oh, by the way, let me say this. Do you understand who Herod was? Do you remember the two twin boys that was born and was in competition from then on? In the Bible, remember Jacob and Esau? Remember that? Do you understand that the tribe of the Edomites come from Esau? And do you realize that from Jacob came the Jews? Do you understand that Herod was an Edomite? Herod was a big, powerful Edomite. Rome had set him up there because he could help them rule over the Jews. And you understand, as you look through, there's an image there. Brother Hobson was talking a while ago about the warfare and the struggle. That warfare has been going on a long time. And the Edomites in the Bible are not good folks. And Esau was a picture there of the wrong side, while Jacob was a picture of the right side. And they've been struggling ever since, and they are today. As you read the news today, there's been a pull between God and the devil. Let me say this. The Bible says there'll be a time, Jesus lets us know there'll be time when he comes back in victory, there'll be war no more. But in the meantime, this old world has had one war after another. And you say, well, suppose we just wouldn't fight, then you could be a slave, because the truth would be trampled. We do have to stand up. And we do see in the Old Testament where God many times ordered some into battle. Now, I thank God there'll be a time there'll be peace on earth, but it's not now. We can sing about it all we want to at Christmas, but it's still a depraved world that we're dealing with. It's the honest truth that we need to face. Now, as I think about it here in Matthew 2, the wise men show up. We know the star leads them to Bethlehem. And when they come to the house in verse 11 of Matthew 2, they see the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. When they'd opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know that, and that's why sometimes we think there was only three wise men. Maybe there were three leaders. I agree with Brother Roulette the other night. He said there was probably an entourage, and I think there would have had to been to travel at that time. Probably no doubt about it. But I want you to notice Herod killed the babies from 2 years old and down, because he was given a guesstimate there, a guesstimate that if the baby was born, then he was probably that old, and so he made that effort. Now, you got to remember again, Herod was an Edomite. He was against the Messiah coming. He was against the Messiah of Israel. And again, he pictures the devil very well in that attitude, that bloody attitude he had to kill those babies. But I want you to notice something else. By the time the wise men got there, I don't know if Joseph and Mary had a savings account. I don't know if they had anything. But when the wise men left, they had quite a bit. There was valuables that they delivered, and very likely it was those valuables that sustained them. They had to go down into Egypt to hide from Herod. I mean, I don't know. Traveling's expensive today. I suspect proportionate-wise it was then. And so the wise men showed up at the right time. And don't you imagine if you could have been there, if that entourage showed up. Somebody said, why didn't Herod follow him to the house and kill that baby? Maybe he was afraid of the entourage. He might have been. I don't know. But I think they went there and they had like a coronation service in a sense for the baby. They recognized who he was. And they brought the gifts. Now I want to make a point. The point is simply this. That just like they came, one day Jesus is going to have that coronation. He is going to be in the restoration. He did come into the cesspool of humanity. But I want to tell you, he done the job. He provided us a Savior. He shed his blood for our sins. He went away, but he said, I'm coming back. And we know the Bible, when he comes back, the time is coming when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I find it interesting, just my own self. Don't publish this that Pastor Carter said it was this, that, or the other. I just, my own self, get a lot of comfort that there was a 2-year gap between him coming and being born in a manger, and the wise men coming, and the little coronation service they must have had. Just 2 years. Wonder if in about 2,000 years doesn't separate from the time of his birth or crucifixion or resurrection, whichever way you want to date it. I think he's about to be crowned again myself. And I, if I know my heart, I want to be one of them at that coronation day. I mean, here's the one that dipped his soul into the pit of slime to save me. And he deserves all the praise and glory and honor that we could possibly bestow on him. So as we do enjoy Christmas with our family and our kids, let's just keep this one that's worthy of all glory out in the forefront. Out in the forefront. And don't be ashamed to own him as Savior. And speak up when you have the opportunity to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you, he is coming again. I don't know that signifies that the 2,000 years is about up, 1,000 years is a day is 1,000 years. I don't know that, but I like to think it's getting really, really close, don't you? Amen. And that'll be the coronation time. Those wise men must have laid something at the baby's feet or the Mary and Joseph. I hope you and I that know the Lord serve him to where we got a crown to lay at his feet when the time comes.